Ran Chav Gimel Amid Beis 23b1. We are seven lines from the top of the page. Okay, just to explain what's going on over here is as follows. Rav Shimon Elazar said that an Eved Kanani cannot get his own freedom document. It's called a get, Shechrer. Why? Because what he goes straight to the master. So therefore, he give it to him, it's still the master. See, uh-huh. In order for a get Shechrer, so he holds, somebody else has to accept it for him. Uh-huh. Okay. We hold, like the other opinions that say, Gita v'yodet boim ke'echad. The get and his freedom come simultaneously. Okay, so therefore, as soon as you give it to him, his freedom makes it him free enough to be able to acquire the get, and he becomes free. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar asked a question like this. Can a Eved Kanani appoint a shliach to accept his get? He can't. Can he appoint a shliach? What's the question? Because before the Gemara said, we learn out Eved from a woman. Law, it says law by Eved, says the word law by Isha. Just like a woman, and this is a question, just like a woman could appoint a shliach, maybe an Eved could also, or maybe not. This was Rabbi's question. So Rabbi said, the answer of Rabbi's question, after he himself asked the question, he himself answered it. It says, we learn out law, law, mi'isha, just like a woman could appoint a shliach, so can an Eved. This is all according to Rav Shimon Elazar's opinion, remember, that an Eved cannot accept his own get, Chav Gimel Amid Beis, seven lines in the top. An Eved cannot accept his own get, but Rabbi ruled, an Eved, though, can make a shliach to accept his get. Okay? So now the Gemara asks a question. The Gemara is going to a very interesting Gemara now. Elahodom Ravun Ebreid Rav Yeshua. Ravun Ebreid Rav Yeshua said a rule, Hani kahane kayanim shlucha drachmane ninu. Let me explain this argument. There's a famous argument in the Gemara. Who are kayanim agents for? Are they Hashem's agents or they are our agents? That's what the Gemara has a whole the debate in the Gemara Nedarim. Who do kayanim work for? They work for the Jews or they work for God? What's the difference? Halachically, what would be the difference? If I make a vow not to benefit any benefit from a kohen, people used to make vows. It was called Meider Anah. I make a vow that I will not benefit from you. I make a vow I will not benefit from Reuven the kohen. Can he bring a korban for me or not? If he's my agent, I'm benefiting from him. If he's Hashem's agent, I'm not benefiting from him. And that's basically the bottom line of the argument. But the question is, who do Kayam work for? Are they Shlucha Rachamana or Shlucha the Yisrael? Okay? Or Shlucha the Don. Different expression in the Gemara. So Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Yeshua said the following statement. Hani kan Shlucha Drachmana Ninum. Kayanim represent Hashem. Okay? Now, why? He says, because Esau Kadaita Shlucha Didoninu. If you're going to say that Kayanim are our Shluchim, he says it can't be. Why? Mi'ika Midi, is it possible? Do we ever find anything? Da'anlan Le Matzin and Avdin that we ourselves cannot do. Ve'inu Matza Avdi, we can make an agent. In other words, like this. The definition of an agent is to act on my behalf. Right? Now, can I bring a korban if I'm not a kohen? Can I bring a korban? No. So how can I make a kohen to be my shliach to work for me to bring a korban? He can't be better than me. The shliach can't be better than me. If I can't do it, how can I make a shliach to do it? Right? So therefore he says, we must, that's his opinion in the Gemara, we must say they work for God. Because if they work for us, how can we make a shliach to do something we cannot do? Okay. I can make a shliach to sell something for me. I could sell it, I can make you a shliach to sell it. Right? But if I can't do it, how can I make you a shliach to work for me so you become like me? But you can't be better than me if I can. Okay. Not, the question, one second. So the question is, it doesn't make sense, this thing. Why? We just got through saying that an Eved cannot receive his own get, but he can make a shliach to accept the get. That's what Rabbi ruled. The question is, according to this concept, that if I can't do it, I can't make a shliach, like by the Koyanim, so how can an Eved, how could Rabbi say that an Eved can make a shliach to accept his own get, even when the Eved himself can't do it? That's what he says. V'loi, and he says no. V'av, that we just got through saying, Rabbi said a statement by an Eved, D'ilemot mekabel gita. He himself, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, is not allowed to receive his own get. V'shliach matzim ashve. Yet, he could make a shliach. So, these two dinim don't seem to reconcile with each other.
What's the premise?
Rabbi said that even though according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, an Eved cannot accept his own get, he can make a shliach to do it. So the Gemara said, but by Kohanim we see you can't do that. So the Gemara said, V'lohi, this is not, one thing has nothing to do with the next. Why not? Because Yisrael, you know why a Yisrael, according to Rav Huna B'reid Rav Yeshua, that a Yid would not be able to make a Kohen a shliach to do a carbon for him, says, you know why? Because Yisrael is shaycha b'teiris karbonis klal. A Yisrael has no connection to carboning, to work in the base of Mikdash. Excuse me. The only thing a Yisrael could do is up to the Shechita. The Gemara says, Shechita k'sheira b'zari. Yisrael could shech the carbon. But from there onward, he can't. She says, you know why Rav Huna B'reid Rav Yeshua holds that Yisrael cannot make a kohen a shliach? Because Yisrael has nothing to do with Avoida. But here, Eved shaykh begitten, and Eved could get a get, meaning, granted he cannot get his own get, but somebody else could get it from if he's not a shliach. That means, conceptually, an Eved does have get connection. A Yisrael has no carbon connection. So it's not a contradiction, he says. You know why a Kohen has to work for Hashem, not for us? Because if a Yid has no connection to carbon, then he can't make a Kohen work for you. That's because a Jew, a Yisrael, or a Levi, has no shaychitz to carbonis at all. But Eved has a connection to get. So therefore, he can make a shliach. So the Gemara says, the Tanya, where do we see that an Eved is shaykh to the concept of a get? Because it says, Nid and Advarim, this is what the Braisa says, it seems correct. She'eved mekabel gita shel chavede miyad rabbi shel chavede. It makes sense that an Eved can receive his friend Eved's get from the friend's master. That means what happens if a master wants to free his Eved? The Eved friend can receive it for him. But the Eved can't get it from his own Rebbe, from his own master. What do you see from there though? That technically an Eved is get acceptable. Except he can't accept from his own personal Rav. Why? Because according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, in order for the Eved to become free, the master has to give something to the Eved. But he's still an Eved, and whatever the Eved owns belongs to the master. So it never left the master's domain. But if he gives it to another Eved, who's not his, then it's not, he's giving it. Right? So he says, so what do you see from here? There's two different dinim here, that the Gemara is saying. There's one din that says that if you're not connected whatsoever to it, you cannot make a shliach. Therefore, Rav Huna B'nei Rav Yeshua holds, Koyanim must be Hashem's shluchim. Because if there are shluchim, how could we make a shliach for something we have absolutely no connection to?
Isn't it true that when an Eved finds something on the street doesn't belong to him, belongs to the master?
Straight to the master.
So he has not of his own. He can't receive a get
either. Yeah, but he could receive for a different Eved.
But of course, the Kana Eved, Kana Avdo, when he's getting it, doing it for his friend, he's not doing it. His master is getting it.
Yeah, but when Reuven and Shimon are
two. The master has to say, oh, now that you have this.
No. Give it to a if there's two slaves, Reuven and Shimon, okay? Reuven has a master. Reuven wants to free him. Okay? According to Rav Shimon Elazar, master cannot give Reuven a get. Why? Because he never left him. Because the second Reuven gets it, he's still the master's. Okay? But the Braisa says, Reuven's master, Yaakov, to give Shimon Reuven's get. Why? Because Shimon's not Yaakov's slave. Right? So when Yaakov gives it to Shimon, it left Yaakov.
But when Shimon got it, Shimon's master owns that get.
Huh?
Shimon.
No, that
that's
yeah.
What you were saying. By the way, I had one question.
No, it, the other slave could do it. Yeah.
But Shimon gets it for his friend. But we he's not really getting it. His master's getting it.
Well, so
master
it doesn't matter, and I'll explain to you why it doesn't matter. So what if his master gets it? It left Yaakov's domain.
Yeah. Okay.
So Shimon's master is getting it for Reuven.
But Reuven is not free yet.
He is. Yaakov is giving Reuven a get, a slave, right? Now, Yaakov can't give Reuven straight the get. Because when Yaakov gives Reuven the get, because Reuven is his slave, he's giving it to himself. Okay? Did the get ever leave Yaakov's domain? No. He's just giving it to himself. When he gives it to Shimon, who is not his slave, granted, the second Shimon gets it, Shimon's master gets it, but did it leave Yaakov's domain?
Yes.
Yes. It left Yaakov's domain. If it left Yaakov's domain, Reuven is free. What do you see from there, though? That an Eved, conceptually, could get a get. He just can't get his own get for a side reason, because he can't acquire anything, and it needs to leave the master. But conceptually, is an Eved in the world of a get? Yeah. He is. A Yisrael is not at all in the realm of a korban beyond the shechita, so he can't make a shliach, a kohen to be a shliach for him if he can't do it. So Ravuna ben Ezra of Yeshua says, "Who is the kohen working for? The kohen is working directly for Hashem."
But the get that this other slave gets from this other master, how can he take that get that he's got? Because that's for him.
No, it's not. It's for Reuven. Shimon is accepting it on Reuven's behalf. In the get, it says, Yaakov is the master. Yaakov says, you, Reuven, my slave, are freed. You're Reuven. He's saying, Reuven, you are a free man. Okay. Now, Reuven can't get it because it never left Yaakov's domain. But if Shimon gets it for Reuven, what does it say in the get Shimon has now? That Reuven is freed. Did it leave Yaakov's domain? Yes. Because Shimon is not Yaakov. So therefore, Reuven would go free.
This ruling is for Jewish Eved or
Eved Kanani. No. Eved Ivri is this is his own man.
There's no problem with Eved Ivri.
Right.
It's very interesting.
But it's a very famous Gemara in the Dorim, like who the Kohanim work for. Okay. Now the Gemara is going back toward the last ruling of the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah that an Eved can get free by money. Eved Kanani, right? But Bavad, the Mishnah says, it should be somebody else's money. That means the Eved can't give his own money. Okay? Now, In the Mishnah, it was really an argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Here, Rav Meir holds Kesef Aide Achedim. That's what Rav Meir holds. Okay? Chachamim Eiminim Bekesef Aide Atzmei. He can give his own money as long as somebody else gave him the money. That means like this. Rav Meir holds, even if somebody else gives the Eved the money, the Eved cannot buy his freedom. The other guy has to give it straight to the master. The Chachamim hold, if somebody gives the Eved the money, the Eved can take the money and buy his freedom from the master, and then he goes out free. So Gemara is going to discuss what is the argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Everybody holds it has to be somebody else's money. Why? Because an Eved has no money. Mm-hmm. Whatever he owns,
the master owns.
So an Eved doesn't have any money.
Yeah,
now, the question is, others like the Eved, and they want him to go free. So the others are giving the Eved money to give to the master.
As soon as they give it to him, he doesn't own it.
Oh, 1 second. So the Chachamim hold, as long as somebody else is giving the money, the Eved himself can take the money and buy his freedom. Rav Meir says, no. It has to be, as in the Mishnah, that means the Chachamim hold, the Eved could buy his own freedom with somebody else's money. Rav Meir says, no. The only way an Eved could go out, if somebody else gives the master the money. But if he gives the Eved the money, it's not going to work. That's what Rav Meir held. So the Gemara is discussing, what is the argument over here? Name of Ahoka Mifligi. This is what the argument would be. The Rav Meir Savar, the Rav Meir would hold like this. En kinyan le'eved b'lei rabbi. It's never able to get anything from others, even if they give it to him on the condition that the master should not own it. It's no good. This is what Gemara is thinking. Rav Meir holds, an Eved can never get anything, even if a guy says, this is on the condition, your master doesn't have it. And the same thing, that means any gift the wife would get would also belong to the husband. That's Rav Meir's opinion. So according to Rav Meir, the only way an Eved can go out is somebody else giving the money directly to the master. But if somebody will give money to the Eved on the condition that the master doesn't get it, meaning on the condition that you go out free, it's not going to work.
That makes sense. I mean, that means
it does make sense. It doesn't. But Rabbanu Savre, 1 second. Rabbanu Savre, says it does make sense. Rabbanu Savre, yesh kinyan le'eved b'lei rabbi. It's possible for an Eved to independently acquire things without the master. And it's possible for a woman to get things without the husband too. Meaning like this. And by the way, there's a third opinion that says women yes and Eved no.
Yeah, woman's definitely Eved.
Right. Yeah. Right. In other words, let's explain the difference, even though both of them right now are likening Eved and Isha and Eved and Isha. Okay? One Chav Gimel Amid Beis, middle of the page. Meaning like this. An Eved is a non-existent entity. Basically. An Eved is the extension of the master. Okay? Therefore we know anything the Eved finds, makes, gets, straight the master. What happens if somebody comes to the Eved and gives him something and says, listen, this is on the condition your master doesn't have it. Just you. So Rav Meir says, doesn't work. There's no being over here. His whole being is an extended hand of the master. It's like giving the hand something on a condition the foot doesn't get it. I mean, it doesn't work.
What if it inherits something?
That's part of this thing, by the way. Well, if it's a guy, well, yeah, a guy would inherit. It would be part of this argument. Now, the Chachamim hold, and the same thing Rebbe said would by a woman. Whatever a woman owns belongs to the husband. So if you give it to her on the condition the husband doesn't get it, that doesn't work. Okay? Chachamim hold, no. Granted that whatever an Eved owns belongs to the master, that's what he works for. But if you're giving him something with the explicit instructions that the master doesn't get it, then it's not going to the master. So look, it won't, according to the Chachamim. That Meir holds it goes to the master. So therefore, this is the argument of the Mishnah. Rav Meir says, other people have to give the money completely. Because even if you're going to give the money to the Eved to buy his freedom, it's too late. The money is by the master already. Chachamim hold, no. If you give it to the Eved on the condition the master doesn't have it, so what's going on? So you can get the money and go free. And the same thing by a woman. What the Gemara is not talking about here, okay, and that is, there's another opinion that says, by an Eved, yeah, and by a woman, it doesn't work like that. Why? A woman, this that she owns, belongs to the husband, is not because the woman's not a person and not a separate entity. It's a totally different issue. This doesn't apply today, so don't even go there. But in the time, in biblical times, the man worked, the woman did her job in the house. Right? The man brought in the money. The woman, as the Gemara uses the expression, the man brings in the wheat, she makes it into food. Okay. So therefore, the Gemara says, because the husband is the sole supporter, it's only right that any money she makes goes to the husband. But it's not because she's the extension of the husband. She's a separate person. She is a separate person. Except the Chachamim said, listen, the husband supports you, whatever you find goes to the husband. But technically she's a separate entity. Therefore, that opinion would hold, that if somebody gives something to the woman, on the condition that the husband doesn't get it, then she could acquire it. But that opinion the Gemara is not talking about. Okay? The Gemara is talking about Ramei and the Chachamim, and we liken woman to Ish, to Eved. Ish, Eved, law, law. We learn that woman from Eved. And therefore the Gemara says like this. Ramei holds a woman can never ever acquire something, and a slave can never ever acquire something without going straight to the master. So therefore, if somebody is going to give an Eved money that he should buy his freedom, Ramei says it's no good. The only way it's going to work, if the guy gives the money straight to the master. Chachamim hold is not true. Granted, as a rule, whatever the slave gets goes to the master, but not if you give it to him, explicitly not like that. So Gemara says, no, you don't have to learn this way. I mean, yeah, it's nice, but it's not necessarily true. Amar Rav Sheshes. Amar Rav says the name of Rav Sheshes. Kula alma ain't king in Levi B'lei Rabbi. Everybody holds, and Evi cannot acquire anything without the master. Even if you give it to him. Even the Chachamim hold that. Ve'en kinyan le'isha b'lei b'aylam. Okay? And a woman also can't acquire anything. So what's the argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim if an Evi could redeem himself with somebody else's money? He said, Och, Ma'eskinim, we're talking like this. The Aknale Acher Mona. We're dealing in a case when somebody gave a mona. Mona is 100 zuz, whatever. He gave 100 zuz to the slave. And he says, Almanas She'ein Lochorabe Rishuzbei. He makes a condition. And he says, I'm giving it to you on the condition that your master doesn't get it. So what's the argument? Something like this. Rabbi Meir Savar, Rabbi Meir says like this, Ki k'amar le'kni, as soon as he says, I'm giving it to you, even though he didn't give it to him yet, the second he says, I'm giving it to you, the master already got it. When you make the condition that your master doesn't get it, it's too late. When you give it to the master, you can't make it on the condition you don't get it. Rav Meir holds, the guy says, this is for you, and the condition. So the Rashi, even though he didn't give the money yet. The second he said, this is for you, it's already the master's.
If he makes the condition first, before
Mata, we'll see that in the Gemara soon. That it's too late already. You already ruined it by saying this is you. And therefore, V'chi Omer HaMenas, when he says, on the condition, Leiklum Kamer, he doesn't say anything. It's too late already. Okay? V'chacham Rabban and Savin, V'chacham, oh no. Kiven the Omer HaMenas, the fact that he said on the condition, Hanalei Tanoi, it's effective as a condition. In other words, the condition is part of the transaction. The first opinion says the transaction is one thing and the condition is something else. Once the transaction was finished, you can't make a condition. Once he said, you, the master got it. Now you're going to say he got a condition and the master shouldn't get it. He got it already.
But this is just technicality.
I mean, it's no. The Gemara is talking, this is reality. And you see it in Halacha.
I understand, but if lawyers get paid to make the lashon of the contract precise. So if it's like...
Yeah.
If you say it's an oral contract. So if you said...
If everybody agrees on the oral contract, this is what the statement was. This is what you go by, even if they're not lawyers.
I understand, but if the statement was said the opposite...
I'll give you another example. I don't know why this example fell into my head. I'll give you another example. You're renting a house. You're renting out a house to somebody. Say to him, $12 a year, a dollar a month. Got it? Or you could say, a dollar a month, $12 a year. Sounds the same? $12 a year, a dollar a month. A dollar a month, $12 a year.
Is there an or in between?
1 second.
If there's a leap year.
Now you have a leap year. Does he have to pay for the extra month?
Depends on the lashon, though, right?
If you say, he said $12 a year, for instance, if the guy only said $12 a year,
that's it.
And there's a leap year,
yes.
The guy gains.
He gains, yes.
Right?
Yes.
If a guy says a dollar a month, yes, then the renter loses. Yes. Yeah? But now he said both. Right? So the chayr is semantics. Yeah? He said a dollar a year, $12, I mean, dollar a month, $12 a year, $12 a year, a dollar a month. Says a machlek is a bar mitzvah if you go by the first or the second. Tafis Lashonishin, Tafis Lashonachnin. I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, Rav and Shmuel, right? I didn't see a long time. Rav and Shmuel, maybe, yeah? But the bottom line is, what do you see from there? Semantics play a role in halacha. Let's say you always go by the last thing the guy said. Okay? Then it matters, did he say $12 a year, a dollar a month, or did he say $1 a month, $12 a year? Or if you go by the first, whatever. But semantics, what you say, is what you mean. It doesn't have to be a written contract, unless they're arguing what the guy said, but that's what we're talking about over here.
But I'm saying,
here everybody agrees.
Even according to Rav Meir, if you say it in a certain way, he would agree with the Chacham. If he didn't say...
Correct. Correct. Well, not really, because according to Rav Meir, the Kevin never acquires anything. Chacham also, you never acquire anything. But if you say, Amenas... And the condition, so the question is a condition part of the acquisition? Acquisition is first and then the condition comes.
Does Rav Meir hold there is a way, depending on the lashon, if you say Almanas, that the Evid actually acquires it?
No.
Why not?
Because Rav Meir holds, anytime you talk acquisition to an Evid, the master gets it.
Can you package the lashon?
No, the question is, quote Rav Meir, you don't have a case even.
Okay.
Even the Chachamim normally would agree to the mayor, except when he says Almanas. Because then the condition is a deal in the acquisition, so it changes the acquisition.
Because the way you were putting it, because as soon as he says you acquire this, in, you know, in if it's this, as soon as you say you, he got it.
Even if he didn't give it.
But if you say, if you do, if this and this and this are in place,
right,
then you acquire it. Then the mayor should say yeah.
Why?
Because you said the if before you said you.
Doesn't matter. If.
Yeah, you that said the condition before you said you acquired this.
It's not going to work. Not according to the mayor, it's not going to work.
What's the reason? Because the reason you said doesn't cut it.
Because the mayor holds the second David is a non-existent entity. Any second David gets it is the master's.
Even if there was a condition
correct
prescribed before right he said that you get it.
Right. Okay, now the Gemara is learning a little bit, Rabbi Eliezer is learning a little bit differently. Here we said the argument on the condition, your master doesn't get it. Right? Now the word is going to change according to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Kol ki hai gavna.
Never.
It's better late than Westwood, as we used to have an expression. No, there was a guy many years ago, used to, when the show opened, there was a guy in Westwood, used to walk every week. But sometimes he came late. Yeah. So he would say, it's better late than Westwood.
He used to walk from Westwood to here?
Yeah.
About an hour, right?
Yeah.
What page are we on?
He became known as the Westwood Rebbe.
Chav Gimel Amid Beis. Like 10 lines from the bottom of the page. But Lazar Eime, Kolki, I Gavna, Kulam, it's a similar case. Not that he says he has no rights. It's the stories like this. Kulam le pliga de konavid ve konarabit. Both Ramey and Chacham would agree that any time you give something to the Yavid, it's ineffective and it's going to go straight to the master anyway. Even according to the Chachamim. So what's the case in the Mishnah? Somebody gives the Eved $100, but he doesn't say on the condition that you master. He says like this, on the condition you go free. He's changing the text. He's not saying this is for you on the condition that your master doesn't get it. He's saying this money is given on the condition you go free. So Rav Meir holds, there's still no good. When he says to him, acquire it, the master immediately gets it. And when he says on the condition you go out with this money, it's too late. But Rabbanan Savre, because the truth of the matter is, and this is an interesting thing, in this case, the Chacham holds like this, the donor is not giving the money to the Eved. The first case was, he gives the Eved money on the condition the master doesn't get it. Who's he giving the money to?
To the master, really.
According to the Rameir, okay. Even in this case, Rameir says it goes straight to the master. The Chacham over here is like this. They're giving him the money on the condition you go out free. So they're not even giving the Eved the money. They're giving the master the money through the Eved to buy his freedom.
He can't do that either.
Chachamim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's the way the Mishnah means.
But he can't do that either.
He could, according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir holds no.
Why does Rabbi Meir hold not to that?
Because again, who are you giving it to?
To the master.
No, but Rabbi Meir holds, you're giving it to the Eved. The Chachamim hold, you're not giving it to the master. Because, Lepel, actually, who are you giving it to? You're giving it to the Eved. Yeah? And the condition, he goes out free. So the mayor says, 1 minute. The bottom line is given to the Eved, that he should take the money and buy his freedom. What's the Eved money? Gets the money, the master gets it. Chachamot, you're not giving the Eved the money. I'm not giving the Eved the money. I'm buying his freedom from the master. The hands that are doing it are the Eved.
Why can't you just give it to the master? Even Rav Meir would say, no? Even Rav Meir would say it would be
effective. Well, the Mishnah didn't necessarily say that, by the way.
He said to Yaakov, please free Reuven. Was it Reuven? Please free Reuven. Here is $600 to buy his freedom. Even Rav Meir would say.
No, because Rav Meir says, Ketzai Dei Achedim. Chachamim hold only Ketzai Dei Yatzmim. Only Ketzai Dei Yatzmim.
The master?
Right. No. Only the Eved can buy his freedom for somebody else's money. Chamod, somebody else can't give the master straight the money.
Has to have to be through the
right, through the Eved.
Why?
That's what the Gemara learned before. Oh. The Gemara brought that out before. Afa Yidei Atzmai. One opinion the Gemara says, the Chachamim say, even to Atzmai. And that was the Dalacha, by the way. But in the Gemara, we learned before that there are different opinions that hold that he can't even do it by himself. Okay, so now he says like this: Rabbanu Savre L'Didei Nami Aleikum Maknali, because they're not saying what do they say? What do they tell him? Amenasha Teiti Belachesi should go out free, meaning they're not even giving the Eved money. I'll give you an example. Your kid needs money for school. Yeah, they're going on a trip. Yeah, so they send a note, send in, $500 for a $2 trip. Okay, what the schools do? Send in $500 for a $2 trip. Okay, so the parents, they send the money with the kid. They're not giving the money to the kid that it becomes the kid's money, and then they're not giving it to the kid. This is for lunch. Yeah. You're not giving it to the kid and then the kid's going to go buy lunch. What is your intent? This money is for your lunch. I'm not even giving it to you. I'm not giving the money to the kid. I'm giving the money for the lunch. The kid happens to be the one schlepping it.
Right.
So therefore, the Chachamim hold, what does it mean, Kethri, they ask me if it's somebody else's money? It's speaking a case when the guy is giving the money through the Eved, but he's not giving it to the Eved. He's only giving it so it should go straight to the master. So now the Gemara says, okay, so based on this, Rabbi Lazar says like this, there is a time, according to the Chachamim, that the Eved doesn't get the get it, so the master doesn't get it either. And the Meir always goes to the master. So now the Gemara says, I'll ask you a contradiction from Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir, and I'll show a contradiction between the Chachamim and the Chachamim. The Tanya we learned in the Brais. Okay, Tapech of Dalit. Ein Isha Peder Maisa Sheni B'lechemish. A woman cannot redeem Maisa Sheni without an additional fifth. Then it's like this. There's, regular Maisa gift to the Levium, and then there's Maisa Oni and Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni is given twice in the 6th year cycle. Okay? No. Maisa Sheni is not. Second, fourth, and fifth. Okay? Is it the 3rd and the 6th? You have Maisa Oni instead. Maisa Sheni is like this. You take 10% of your fruit, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it. Then you can't eat it. Maisa Sheni needs to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Then the Torah says, what happens if it's too much to schlep?
You sell it.
Not sell it. You redeem it. You take the money to Yerushalayim, Crown Heights, right? Crown Heights. And you eat it. You eat it there. You take the money and you buy food with it. Okay.
You take it in the place and make that.
Yeah. Right. Now. So the din is that if I was, the Gemara learns out from another pasuk that when I redeem my Maisa Sheni for money, I need to add 25%. It's a fee. It's called redeeming fee, redemption fee. The Torah says a chomesh, a fifth, but it doesn't mean a fifth, it means a quarter. because it's a fifth of the whole thing plus the whatever. Now, that's only when I redeem my own Maiser Sheni. What happens if I redeem your Maiser Sheni? I don't have to pay a fifth.
Why?
That's what the Torah says.
If you redeemed it for me,
do I pay? No. If I redeem it for you. So that's what the Yisrael, I redeemed. I redeem yours, you redeem mine. And leave it
so
to the Jews.
You just give it to someone else to redeem. You never have to pay.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Okay, but let's... Now, it says like this. When one redeems somebody else's Maaser, he redeems it for the face value. Okay? Explain it then. What happens when you redeem your own Maaser Sheni? The Torah says, "Him gal yigal ish mi masrei chamishisa yisev olav." Okay, which is 25%. Okay, now. Okay, now the Braisa says it then. What happens if a woman redeems her husband's maaser? Does she have to pay the fifth or the 25% or not?
Well, doesn't everything belong to each other?
You live in California. There's no community property in Taurus law, sir.
Everything belongs to the husband.
Gosh, man.
She's his property, so I think she could.
Yeah, right. It's a good thing there are no women here now. Okay, so it says, in Paide Isha, it says in the Braisa like this. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Eini Isha Paide Maisa Sheini, a woman cannot redeem her husband's Maisa Sheini, but Lachemish without an additional fifth. What does the Gemara think now? Because the woman is the husband. And just like the husband himself would have to add a 25%, so does she. Rab Shimon ben Elazar Eime Mishum Rab Meir Isha Paida Maisa Sheini B'Loi Chaimish. A woman could redeem her husband's Maisa without the additional fine.
So it's a difference of opinion.
One second. What else is new? So the Chachamim say a woman is the extension of her husband. Therefore, just like if the husband did it, he would have to give the redemption fee. Same thing a woman. And Rav Shimon Elazar said, in the name of Rav Meir, you don't have to. So Gemara says, 1 minute. Hey, Chidami, what's this case? If you don't have the husband's money, what is the wife doing over here? She's redeeming her husband's Maaser. How? Is it his money and his maaser? She's only a shliach. Of course she has to. I mean, why would one opinion say no?
Well, of course she has to. Why?
One second. We pay the additional money.
Why? She's doing
everybody it. Would agree, because it's only her husband's shliach. Right?
Oh, I see.
So why does Rav Meir hold she doesn't have to pay the fifth? Ella, we must say, bezuza dida. It's not speaking about her husband's maaser. The Bryce's expression was, a woman doesn't have to pay a fifth, which means 25%, like we said, when she redeems maaser. So, simply learning the mission, the Bryce means a husband. Whose maaser is she redeeming? The husband's. So, the Gemara says, 1 minute. If it's the husband's money, and the husband's maaser, and she's only a shliach, of course you have to pay. How could Rav Meir say you don't have to pay a fifth? It's him.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So we must say it's not the husband's. It's her miser and her money.
So then, for sure, she
how in the world does she get it?
Yeah, how does she get it?
1 second. Elo bezuza dida. So we must say, right? It's speaking her money.
Or
miser dida and her miser. So the Gemara said, but that can't be. Why? Because the Torah says, Ish amerachamano. It says in the Torah, if a man redeems his maaser, which means only a man and not a woman. So what's the case? So you must say it's speaking like this. El Allah, we must say, what's the case of this braisa? The Amar, the Aknele Acherman, somebody else gave her the money. And he says, on the condition that you redeem the miser with it. Because otherwise, this case doesn't make sense. How in the world can a woman be redeeming miser? That you have an argument. If it's the husband's money, the husband's money. Everybody says she has to pay the fifth. So you must say, she can't be doing her own, because the Torah says only a man could redeem it. Right? So what's the case? We must say, she's redeeming the husband's. But, not with the husband's money. She's redeeming it with her money. Now, where does she get money from? It must be that another guy gave the woman the money on the condition that she redeems her husband's maaser with it. Exactly the case of our Mishnah. You give something to the Eved that he should buy his freedom. Now, Rab Meir in the Mishnah said, by us, that doesn't work because it's still the master. Right? What does Rab Meir say over here? It's not the husband. She doesn't have to pay the 25%. Mamash, the opposite of what he just said. In our Mishnah, by an Eved and Isha, Rav Meir says, if somebody gives you money on the condition that you go out free, the Eved doesn't go out free, because he's still the master. Yet over here, by Meiser, if somebody gives a woman, Meiser, money, on the condition that you redeem the Meiser, Rav Meir says, no, that's the husband. Rav Meir says, it's not the husband. It's not the husband because she doesn't have to pay the fifth. Rav Meir says in this Meiser, you don't need to pay the fifth, the woman. The woman doesn't need to pay the additional fifth. Right? Why doesn't she have to pay the additional fifth? Because it's not the husband. If the husband did it, he would have to pay the fifth. If the woman did it for her husband, she would also have to pay the fifth. Because it's him. So what's the case? The woman is redeeming the miser with her money. Where did she get the money from?
Somebody gave it to her.
But what's somebody else telling her? On the condition that you redeem the miser. Okay. So now, according to Rab Meir in our Mishnah, is that the husband or not? According to our Mishnah, it would be the husband if it doesn't go out free. But over here, Rab Meir says it's not the husband; she doesn't have to pay the fifth. Mamish, the opposite of our Mishnah, and the same thing would be on the Chachamim. In our Mishnah, the Chachamim hold that it's not the master; the Eved does go out free. And here, the Chachamim hold you have to pay the additional money.
Wait, Rabbi, I'm a little confused about.
So am I.
No wonder I'm confused.
Very simple.
No, I'm confused because I thought when a person redeems Meiser, they are selling it to somebody else, and they take that money and they go to Yerushalayim and they buy food with it.
Yeah, but they have to add.
Okay, so if the wife is selling it,
they're not selling; they're actually redeeming it.
But you redeem it by selling it,
right? But you have to pay an additional fifth.
Right. So when someone
not in the sale price.
Huh?
If the fruit's worth $100,
right.
The guy who's redeeming the fruit gives her $100.
Yeah.
She has to bring $125 though of money to Yerushalayim and spend it.
What? Right. But the guy who comes to her and he says, I'm giving you $100 on the condition that you redeem that stuff for your husband.
Right.
So then she has to bring another $20.
No, that's the argument. Rav Meir says she doesn't have to. And the Chacham hold you do have to. Right? Now, if it's the husband, you have to pay the money. If it's somebody else, you don't. Right? Now, in this, Braiser, the mayor says, she does not have to pay the additional fifth. Why?
You do why? It.
Yeah, but why doesn't she have to pay the additional fifth?
Because
she is not doing it for the husband.
Oh.
Because if she did it for the husband, she would have to pay the extra money. It's like the guy himself doing it. When you redeem your own miser, you need to pay 25%.
When you redeem somebody
else's, you don't have to. So therefore, if a guy gives a woman money on the condition that she should redeem the miser, Rab Meir says in the Braisa, she does not have to pay the fee. Why? Because it's not the husband.
Right, that's the whole reason the husband...
But by Eved, Rav Meir says, the Eved can't go out free because it is the master. It's the same guy. A guy is giving him money on the condition you go free.
Oh, right. That's
right.
Right.
So in the Mishnah by us, Rav Meir says the Eved cannot go free because that's the master. Right. And here, Rav Meir says, it's not the husband, it's not the master. And the same thing, the Chachamim reverse. In our mission, the Chachamim say the Eved could go out free because it's not the master. Because they're giving him money on the condition that you go out free. So it's not the master. Yet, by Meiser, the Chachamim hold, she does have to pay the additional fifth because it is the master. So make up your mind. Is it or isn't it? Because it's the same case, really, the Gemara says.
I'll pay them $100 on a condition to make up their mind.
So the Gemara says...
What's the reason for the additional fee, then?
Because the Torah says, no reason.
There's
money-making...
If somebody redeems somebody else's mice, there's an additional fee to that person?
No, only if you redeem your own.
Only when you redeem your own?
Yeah.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
That's what the Torah says.
The mitzvah is supposed to do your own.
No.
No, that when you it's sell your own, if you have to pay
isn't, doesn't this encourage Jews to get other people to redeem their...
So don't do it. Big deal.
It's okay?
Yeah. It's a surcharge.
No, but if someone else does it for you, there's no surcharge.
Right. The thing, if you do it yourself, surcharge.
If your wife does it.
So that's the story. If she's doing it with the husband's money, everybody says she pays the surcharge. Because the husband... What's the case? We must say that we have a machlekes between a man and a chachamim is when a guy is giving her money, not the husband's money, on the condition I'm giving you the money to redeem your husband's maaser, right? So is it the husband or isn't it the husband? Rav Meir says it's not the husband, therefore she doesn't have to pay the fifth. Chachamim hold it is the husband, therefore you do have to pay the fifth. That's contradictory to what we said in our Mamish Rav Meir and the Chachamim are disagreeing with themselves. In our Mishnah, Rav Meir says exact same case by Eved. It is the master. And the Chachamim hold, it's not the master. And here the Chachamim hold,
the opposite.
It is the husband. And Rav Meir says it's not the husband.
The buyer is setting out the terms over here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now the question is, and our Mishnah says the opposite. Right? So Abaye is a very Jewish thing. Okay, switch around the opinions. In other words, our Mishnah is right. The Braisa seems to be contradictory. Switch Ramay and the Chachamim around, because we learned Braisa wasn't so exact. So Abaye says, turn it around. Ramay will say, like our Mishnah. In other words, Ramay would hold.
Just like that.
She does have to pay a fifth. And a chacham, you don't have to. That's what Rabbi says, loyalim light table. What are you talking about? Just turning around things for? Don't turn it around.
Maybe a woman is different than an Eved.
Huh?
Maybe a
How
woman.
Can you just say turn it around?
Maybe a woman is
I thought because the Braises weren't always exact. And many times the Gemara
said. It must be.
In other words, in the contradiction between a Mishnah and a Braise, a Mishnah is right. Okay, that's the rule. So if you have a contradictory Braise, they probably miss. Heard what each one said, or in the oral transmission, it got mixed up.
They didn't attribute it to
right.
Okay.
So he says like this.
But it's not actually exactly the same case. That was Eved Nisha.
But we said Eved Nisha, both of them said the same thing.
No,
by Eved, we said, I said there's a third opinion. We're not talking about that guy, I said. But Ramey and the Chachamim equalize. Yeah, Eved Nisha. Rabbi says, no, there's a difference between Eved and Meiser. What's the difference? The Meiser does mean being the Shah Askinen. He's speaking about Meiser that comes as an inheritance from her father's house. It's not the husband's Meiser, it's hers. She inherited from her father. The din if a woman inherits from her father, normally she gets it. You sell the land, she keeps the principal, the husband eats the fruits, so to speak. It says like this, Rameir the Tamei, Rameir goes according to his own opinion. Rameir says, Maiser Mamin Hegdeshu. Maiser Sheni is the property of God, not the owner. Therefore, Leikon Leibal, the husband never acquired it from his wife. And therefore, Rameir holds, that she doesn't have to pay the fifth because it's not a man's, and the Torah only says men have to give the fifth, not the woman. Or, no, Rashi explains a little different. When she's redeeming it with the husband's money, it's not her money, it's the husband's. So somebody else's money, so you don't have to pay the fifth.
But she is a representative of her husband?
Sure. It's hers.
Is the mitzvah to redeem your own miser?
Huh?
Is that the mitzvah to redeem your own?
If it's too much to carry, if it's too much to carry, you have to redeem it.
So why is there a penalty for the person who doing it?
Again, the Torah says.
Well, what is the last thing you said? That if the wife does it, she doesn't have to?
That's what the mayor holds.
On behalf of the husband? Or
no, it's her own miser.
No, but it's still a matzah.
So her own miser should... Oh, because the person...
She's taking the husband's money. No, I'm saying. Because whose money is she redeeming with?
You said hers.
No, the mice is hers. But a woman has no money.
Who's she redeeming it with? With the stranger?
Her husband's money.
Like the husband's money.
No. So it's her thing and the husband's money.
So she doesn't...
Anyway, I have to...